We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you. We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you.
Welcome back to Sometimes I Hate You, your favorite comedy variety podcast, hosted by me. I'm Andy, and as always, Victor. He's telling us a story. What about you?
Just Scooty Doe Park, Shlamo. So the closest I had was I had a cat that was a stray one time, and I was like fucking maybe like 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And so I'd go outside and feed it and everything like that, and I did this for like 4 weeks straight or so, and I was just like, oh man, I love this little kitten. And then all of a sudden it just kind of like disappeared one day, and I was just like, oh no, what happened? And no one told me anything. I think my parents at the time told me like it, like the pound took it or something. Dude, tell me why. Just like a year ago I found out that my mom let it slip, because she never told me that our, not the Butch you know, but the Butch before that, just straight up murdered that cat, and they didn't tell me.
That's horrible.
I was just like, oh cool,
that's horrible.
Yeah,
it's been dead this whole time.
I thought it went to a good home. I thought it was taken care of, everything, but no, it got murdered by one of our old dogs.
To be 100% honest, I think my mom may have sent a cat off to be euthanized or something. But I really don't know. I just know that supposedly he went to go live on a farm, which is like the titular thing.
The one,
no,
yeah.
But like, hold on. But let me preface this. So when I lived in Wyoming, I was like 10 or maybe 9. And my brother and I really wanted cats because my sister had her own cat. And my mom got in touch with this lady who posted like an ad that she trapped a bunch of kittens, and like she just caught them in like a fox trap or whatever, and which is like, they're humane, I promise. It's not a little bear trap for kittens.
No, because like they're those ones where it's like a platform that just drops and they go in and then it flips back up.
Yeah, a door, so they can't just get shuts out while they're eating. Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what happened. And she had this little cage with two cats, one black and one white. And my brother took the white cat and I took the black cat. I named the black cat Midnight. And I had him for a couple of months. He got to like adolescence. And then he was this like very angry, very feral thing all the time.
Just like a wild street cat. Mm-hmm,
he would fuck your shit up. Like, he would bite you and scratch you and scream at you and everything. And then he would also just sprint away from you no matter where you were. So he was always just this angry thing.
Yeah, it's because it derived from a fucking other street cat. You can't domesticate those things.
But his Midnight's sister, whose name was Thunder, because my brother thought it was a boy when he got it. I don't know why he felt this need, but my brother thought Thunder was a boy and then renamed Thunder Thunderlina to add like a girl thing to the end of it. And
that sounds like some 1980s like superhero bullshit.
Now, I was like, you could have just left it as Thunder. You could have totally just left it as Thunder. But either way, he had Thunderlina and I had Midnight, and we got them both fixed and stuff. And still, like, it was just a nightmare to take care of this dude. So my mom was like, well, I know these people, because my mom, we lived in Wyoming, and my mom worked at a place called Sierra Trading Post, which is like, doesn't that sound like some fucking Red Dead Redemption 2 ass shit?
Really
is Sierra Trading Post?
I feel like you'd go get some chewing tobacco there.
I went to go there once. It's like one of the only retail jobs my mom ever had. And I went to go visit her. And, you know, when you're a kid and you visit your parent at work, you're just like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, nothing else. I have no way to articulate other than, I think it was like camping gear and stuff. But it was mostly like a retail store that was like outdoorsy themed.
Kind of like
but
a
also
Bass
kind
Pro
of
Shop,
like,
but a little more.
I really couldn't even tell you. I've never been to a Bass Pro Shop. But it wasn't all sports either. Because, like, she was all excited because she got, like, deer skin like leather gloves, so I don't know.
Like, man, just, that's crazy.
Yeah, I told you I grew up in 1854.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a time traveler.
Well, back where I grew up, there was this lady that was friends with my mom. Her name was Janine. Uh-huh. And Janine had a bull that she was raising so they could slaughter it. Oh. And it just lived at their house. And she would like visit it and be like, hey, how's it going, Blue? And I'm like, why would you name that thing if you're going to eat him?
No.
And apparently, like, they'd been doing that for years. Like, that's all they do. And he just lived in a pen, basically. And they just fed him until they were getting ready to murder him. Like, I was like, that's horrible. Why would you, like,
raise a bull for slaughter? Those things are so much more, like, tough and aggro.
I don't know. I mean, you eat steer. Most male cow meat is food. I mean, there's female cow meat, but most male, I don't know. Honestly, that's also another funny thing is because you got dairy cows, which no one eats,
yeah,
and
no one
you
touches
got
them.
Non-dairy cows, which everybody eats male and female uh-huh. versions of.
Yeah,
so,
no, but like
I don't
a bull
know.
Is entirely different. Those motherfuckers yeah, are just pure testosterone and hate.
I don't fucking know. Maybe my mom misinterpreted it and it was just a steer that
yeah,
lived
that
at the house,
sense.
like a castrated steer or something rather than a fucking full aggro bull.
Just raw hatred.
I'm made of testosterone and steel.
I want to destroy your soul.
Yeah. But we had this just pissed off cat. But like I said, my mom worked at Sierra Training Post, knew somebody there and was like, yeah, midnight is I'm going to send him off with my friend. So he can go live on a farm.
Aww.
And I do remember somebody came to pick his ass up. So like, there's a possibility he went to go live on a farm,
that's
but she also never gave me any updates. Like,
it's
I hate
so
that
convoluted.
I like, yeah, I hate that it's possible he went to a farm.
A
whereas,
real farm.
Like, you know, when we grew up in San Diego,
yeah,
you went
you
to a farm,
that,
means that shit got picked up by the pound and got euthanized. But
exactly.
For me, and
that
yeah,
was a legitimate
me,
thing that could have happened to
it's
you.
Actually, possible that it lived. He went to go live in a farm. So yeah, that was my cat Midnight. What was your first pet ever?
Our first pet. Well, my
I think
actual
we,
first
we
pet.
We might have talked about it, but yeah, what was the like? Was there a pet you grew up with? Because I actually had a dog as my first pet.
Yeah, that was the old Butch. That one.
Oh,
that
okay.
Dude was fucking bonkers, dude.
He Butch like, the first.
Butch
the crazy
the first.
One.
Yeah. Well, not the one that would want to kill people. He's just kind of house protective. But no, dude, I've seen that dude jump in the air and catch birds out the sky and shit. Like
that's
a
fucking
crazy
atrocious.
Motherfucker. And he just disappeared
that.
One day, and I don't know what happened to him.
That's even weirder that he just was gone. Well, you think maybe your parents, I mean, they lied about the cat.
No,
so.
See, that's one of the things where I was just like, hey, like, guys.
That was your follow-up question. Yeah. What happened to Big Butch?
Yeah, I was just like, you guys didn't lie to me about Butch, right? Like, we don't really know what happened to him. They're like, no, we really don't know what happened to him. Because, like, the way he ran off is someone left the back gate open at the time. You know my backyard. It's like this long fucking just hill.
Dude, I can't
yard.
Believe you've lived there basically your whole life. That's
yeah,
so crazy.
It's fucking bonkers, right?
I've not lived anywhere my whole life, obviously.
I know.
God, I've since the beginning of this show, I've moved like four times.
Yeah, you're fucking nomad, dude. But yeah, that's what happened there. Someone left the gate open. He just disappeared and we couldn't ever find him. We searched for like a month seeing if like the yards had him or the pound and nothing. What I was going to lead to though is this is why I never wanted a cat. Because of that one situation where I was because
that was the cat that you loved.
That was the cat that I loved and it got taken from me.
Oh,
and
man.
I never got told what happened. So I was just like, I never want any more cats. And that was like the same way I was originally with my old Butch too, because I was like, I never want any more dogs. No one will replace Butch.
That's fine. Well, now you have your current dog and then I assume you're not gonna have any pets after that.
No, we probably
I don't
will.
Know.
My fiance will not allow us to not have more dogs.
Yeah, the cat that's here is not my cat. It's the family cat. I love him, but my cat passed away last year, and I don't know. I just don't want to raise any more pets.
No, yeah, that's going to definitely be a thing. But I think we're leaning, well, she's leaning
I'm sad
more towards
for 6 months.
Yeah. I honestly feel like at the rate, it's just going to be like, oh, man, look, there's another one. But it's going to be like she's wanting a big dog. So I don't know what big dog is going to be a thing. But
I'm hoping
point,
it's a Great Dane. So that way it's
just
a problem.
Some Scooby-Doo ass.
ass motherfucker. Uh-huh.
I want it to be an absolute issue. Like,
an atrocious wreck. Because
the old Butch was, yeah, the old Butch was like I don't know, if somebody kept a fucking stuffed boar around the house. So
he just kind of like waddle that around everywhere and just plop, sound like a jagged so, and he'd sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm basically hoping is the future is that old, well, your current dog will be replaced by an extremely large, unwieldy dog that you can't do anything with. Like, I want it to be so big, it's a problem for your big ass, yeah, is dude, what I would like.
Because, like, right now with her, she's, like, tiny. She can fit on, no, not tiny, but, like, medium. She can fit on the bed, and it's not, like, a problem. Like, I'm not looking forward to the day where she's going to have this giant thing that wants to be between us, because dude, it's gonna happen, and I'm gonna either be pushed off the bed or something atrocious.
When my wife and I first got together, like, she has two dogs. She has two German Shepherds, and one of them would sleep in the bed. And I felt it was acceptable for a certain period. And then after a while, I was like, this can't keep happening. I don't like this at all. They're too big. Yeah. They smell bad. I don't want you near me. Sleep on the floor. Like, I don't know. You're fine as a companion, but I don't want to cuddle with you. That's yeah, why I'm forever gonna be a cat dude. Even if you gave me like a big cat, like a dog sized cat, I'd be so kind of annoyed. I'd be like, this
oh
is,
really? Oh,
no, so it's no, more I'd be annoyed. Size, it's too much. Yeah, it's too much animal.
I don't want that.
But then if you gave me, like, I swear to you, if you gave me a cat sized dog, I would leave it outside. I would fucking hate it.
I want nothing to do with it.
And I am not a tiny dog man. I may not be a dog person at all, but I'm most definitely not a tiny. Like, if a chihuahua was like, I'm stuck outside and it's raining, I'd be like, bitch, let the raccoons have you. I don't fucking care. I want a tiny giraffe more than I want you.
Yo, dude, you would fucking love a tiny giraffe. You'd be all over
dude,
that
if
shit.
Somebody, if I could get a fucking mini horse but a giraffe, I would be fucking stoked. Like, not a full 20 foot no. tall giraffe, but if it was like 6 feet tall,
you
that would be
fucking
the
clothes
shit.
On it and chains.
Oh dude, a giraffe with a Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses and yeah, like big gold chains. That'd be sick.
And then you just have it going around people's yards eating their tree leaves and shit.
Yeah, it would just be God, that thing just staring at you while, like, you're just mowing the lawn. You're like, what the fuck is that? It's my little giraffe, dude.
I got him some fucking Louis Vuittons. They're pretty sick, right?
He's just got two pairs of shoes, but they're on the front legs only.
He just clops around, goes and eats their dumb. Bushes. They're like, yo, can your giraffe not eat my bush? Sorry, he was hungry.
So I'm obviously gonna derail everything. So I finished that book about the elk lady.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, sir, and everybody else listening to the podcast, this has been a ride. So, well, okay, it got pretty crazy because essentially there was a bunch of dudes who got together and had a sweat in a sweat lodge and started
a
getting
sweat in a sweat lodge.
Yeah, literally they use the word sweat as a verb, like a thing to go do. In the book, because they're Native American dudes trying to sweat in a sweat lodge, and they are not religious, but they're like, oh, let's pour one out for our friends who passed away recently.
Geronimo.
One of them who was murdered by an elk woman. So, like, yeah, basically the next like third of the book is entirely dedicated to three sweaty ass Native American dudes talking about their friendship and like whatever happened in the last couple of years and stuff.
You just said someone got murdered by an elk woman. You got to elaborate that.
not even. So, okay. So technically the elk woman is the lady who got her scalp ripped off by a motorcycle.
Okay.
Turns out he called it right. That
so
was
she
the
was
elk
a
woman.
Weird elk spirit creature.
Yeah. But apparently it's an elk spirit creature that tends to be Shawnee, the chick that I was talking about.
Okay.
But either way, the dude, Lewis, carves his wife's stomach open when he tries to collect her teeth, and he finds a small baby elk inside of her body, and he's like, oh, well, I'm going to bring this back wherever. She fell off a ladder.
Okay.
She fell off a ladder.
Again, there's huge gaps going on in the story, you know?
She fell off a ladder right after he came out of the garage and was like, hey, what's up? I've been doing home maintenance. And she was like, oh, okay, wait, is that blood all over your hands? Are you okay? Oh, fall off the ladder. And then she just cracks her head on the fucking hearth of their fucking fireplace. And then he's like, oh man, she's dead.
Time to cut her open.
What if her teeth are made out of ivory? Then she could be the elk woman. So he goes and he digs inside of her mouth, takes all her teeth out. None of them are elk. He also points out something because his wife, PETA, is a white lady and he's a Native American dude. He talks about how the teeth came out easier out of PETA's mouth than they came out of Shawnee's mouth. And he's starting to think that maybe somehow Native Americans have stronger teeth or more stuck in their teeth. That's an actual like thought process that goes through his mind. And then he's like, wait, there's something kicking in my wife's abdomen. Hold on. She's not supposed to be pregnant. She said she never wanted kids. He cuts it open and it's just a baby deer. And he's like, oh man, that's crazy. And then it just kind of fast forwards. And apparently he got shot by highway patrol carrying a baby deer back into his reservation. And highway patrol was on the hunt for him because he murdered and eviscerated some corpses.
That makes sense.
So, So after that, his friends were like, oh man, Lewis, I mean he married a white lady, so obviously shit got weird for him, right?
That's the reason why he was cursed, bro. Yeah.
they were like it has nothing to do with anything else. It has to have been married a white lady. So
he forsook the ancestors, so they sent a weird elk lady to go fix the problem.
I mean technically it's an elk that wanted revenge, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So then his friends are like, oh well, let's put together a sweat and we'll sweat and, you know, in honor of Lewis and the other guy who got beaten to death outside of a bar.
How the concept is like, God forbid something terrible were to happen to you, but if I get the news of, say, damn, I gotta go to a sweat lodge to go sweat one out for Andy.
Not even go to a sweat lodge. One of the buddies, he built one in, like, outside of his fucking trailer. What's and it's made out of worse? It's he literally dug a hole, made like a teepee out of like sleeping bags and old jackets and shit. And then he went inside of that, and then he got fucking he went looking for hot rocks, like rocks that were good to heat up and keep inside of the sweat lodge. And then the fucking the town sheriff basically was like, hey, can you look after my son? He's been making some weird decisions. I think he might be gay. Can he go? I'll pay you guys $100
with you.
I'll pay you guys $100 to keep him in a sweat lodge with you and show him some real traditional Indian stuff.
Make it worse.
I don't have an answer to that, Victor. So he goes and hangs out with these two like 40-year-old men. One's a dad, the other one is engaged to another white woman. Or no, not an old white woman. She's actually of the race called she's not a race. She's from the tribe called the Crow. And
I love that movie.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, she's from the tribe called the Crow. And so they hang out in a fucking sweat lodge, and the fucking police officer is responsible for bringing the fucking hot rocks. So they're just sitting there sweating and talking about their dead friends while they yell the word ho to call the guy over with his hot rocks with a shovel. He brings a shovel and some rocks that were sitting in a fire. So they just ho. He comes over with fucking, and then they have to be like, thank you, firekeeper. And so he's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. And they were like, hey, I
That's
have a CD
level
with
up,
some
bro. I play dude, Dark Souls.
They're like, hey, I have a CD with some Indian drums. Can you go play that out of the police squad car? And the dude's like, yeah, I got it. He goes and hooks up the drums, and then the dudes in the sweat lodge were like, man, John's been gone a long time. I feel like I've heard this song like three times now, because the CD is living,
like,
basically
a 10-minute song.
Yep. And they're like, it's fine, we're supposed to stay here. You know, back in the day, old dudes used to be able to stay in here for weeks or until they just got past all of the heat. And they're like, yeah, but I'm not that tough an Indian. Like, I'm a tough Indian, but I'm not that fucking tough. And then one of the dudes gets out and he's like, oh man, shit, that's weird. Where's Steve? And Steve's just missing. And he's like, where's those dogs too? I swear my buddy has dogs. And then he looks for the dogs and he's like, oh shit, that one's dead. This is a dog that's been beaten to death by a rock.
Time to go back to the sweat lodge.
No, this is what he does. He goes to his truck, drinks a beer, and then goes back to the dog, and then puts the beer down, and then fucking throws, finds out that the dog is still partially alive. So he picks up the same rock that was used to beat the dog. And then he ends the dog and then he just goes and gets back in the sweat lodge. And he's like, man, it's kind of cold out there.
And then sits
for a while. And then all of a sudden some lady legs appear and they're like, oh shit, it's the, well, they don't know. But like the author is like, nah, it could be the deer woman. And it's not the deer woman. It's the crow lady who's like, hey, I came back. I needed to borrow some money. My aunt, my cousin, the Shawnee, she died. Apparently she got murdered by your friend Lewis. And they're like, oh shit, that's crazy. Why don't you take our fucking dowry that I hid inside of a car that's on fucking cinder blocks? I hid it inside of a thermos inside of that car. Take that dowry and you can use that for vacation money and go see your mom and family and stuff. And she's like, okay. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna get out now. He gets out because he's like, man, this song's been going on in a long time. And they go to check, and this is when one of the guys, the two guys start arguing with each other about some shit, and he's like, you killed my fucking dog. And he's like, I didn't kill you. Well, I killed your dog, but he was already dying. And so then they fight with each other, and he's like, fucking chill out. And then the other dude's like, nah, I'm not chilling out. And then they fucking body slam each other into the fucking car that's on cement bricks that falls on top of the lady that he's engaged to and fucking kills the shit out of her.
Oh my god,
And then the dude's like, you killed my fucking fiance. I didn't even have any like hopes and dreams, but I was hoping that she was gonna be them hopes and dreams, and you done killed her. And the dude's like, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to. And then he's like, all right, it's fine. If you want to end me, go ahead, you can kill me. And the dude pulls out a shotgun and is like, all right, I'm gonna shoot you in the face with a shotgun. And then pulls the trigger and shoots. There's a long-haired girly figure behind them, and he shoots that person. And the guy who accidentally dropped the car on the dude's fiance is like, you shot my fucking daughter. Is that my daughter back there? And even as a reader, I'm like, where did your daughter just come from? I was like, where the fuck did you? Why is it so goofy and weird all of a sudden? But then he's like, you killed my daughter. And then the dude's like, I didn't mean to. No, it's fine. I understand. And he was like, it's fine. I understand. Just end me. All my hopes and dreams are dead. You killed my wife or my fiance with a car. You didn't even like, you don't even sorry about it. I'm sad. It's fine. Just kill me. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to beat you to death with this coffee mug. So he beats him to death with a coffee mug. And then he walks over to the girl who got shot with a shotgun and finds out it's actually the young boy who was in the sweat lodge with them, who got dressed and also apparently wears a jersey like his daughter does. And he's like, oh shit,
I killed him for no reason. He didn't forsake me.
Yep. And he's like, damn it. And he's like, all right, well, I'm sorry, man. And he's like praying to the sky. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to kill you. And then he's like, hey kid, it's okay, I'm not gonna hurt you. The kid's like, what the fuck, I'm scared. He backs over, like keeps backing up into fucking horse stables. Horses are like, the fuck is that? And they kick the kid to death.
Oh my god.
Who just got shotgunned in the chest. So they kicked the kid to death, and the kid's and then this dude is like, oh man, I'm fucking tired. Everybody's dead now. Where's the fucking cop? He's like, where's the fucking cop? Looks over into the fucking bathroom. There's an outhouse and goes and looks in the outhouse. Cop's got his throat ripped out and he's like, the fuck happened here?
Oh, I forgot that guy died ages ago.
Yep. And then some Native American lady comes out from the trees and is like, haha, this is what I've always wanted. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And she's like, I'm actually that deer that you guys killed years ago. I turn into a lady sometimes. And he's like, you got deer eyes. That's weird. And she's like, yeah, I got deer eyes. So how about you do this for me? You put the shotgun up to the bottom of your chin, you pull the trigger, and I promise I won't hunt down your daughter.
Oh,
and he's like,
oh my god.
He's like, oh, well, you're scary, so it's a deal. He's like, you promise that you're not going to kill my daughter? I'm not even kidding. It's like that tone. He's like, you pinky promise you're not going to kill my daughter? And she's like, yeah, promise. And he fucking shoots his face off. And then she's like, all right, time to go kill the spawn. And she just starts hiking down the hill. So, and then it like cuts to the next scene where the daughter is coming to visit her dad, who's like, you owe me $40, you piece of shit. And I got to go do basketball practice. Cause his daughter is like a basketball protege, basically. And when she gets up to the top of the hill, there's just this Native American lady, the same crow lady, Shawnee, who's been hanging out, just fucking playing basketball by herself with a bunch of corpses in a sweat lodge. and so she's like, hey, you want to play basketball until your dad comes back? We can hang out or whatever.
We'll be friends. And
the daughter's like, yeah, sure. It's fine. We can do one on one. So they play fucking basketball against each other. It becomes a literal life and death fucking basketball match because this lady starts turning into a deer woman in the process and then scares the basketball playing girl off of the court and like chases her through a bunch of snow until like she's about to be fucking murdered in the snow and stuff, and she's like, oh shit, I guess there goes my promising basketball career. And then bang, the fucking bullets go off like in front, like near the deer woman who's literally got a deer head, and she looks up at the top of the hill. And it's her stepdad, the park ranger, who arrested her actual biological dad back when he killed the deer woman. And he does some like hand sign that's, I can't tell you what it is
because the dude, bro.
Yeah, the author tries to articulate it, but it's apparently a left and right shaky hand sign, which means like no, it's not like a jazz hands orgasm. it's like one upside down, one right side up, and then you flip it and that means like it's done, it's over, let's bury the hatchet. Aha, see, Indian jokes.
I played Assassin's Creed 3, I got that.
But he does that, and then the girl down in the valley where he just shot a fucking gun at a fucking crazy ghost elk woman, she just does the same hand gesture and the ghost elk woman's like, I'll just take my ghost baby and leave, it's done. And then it's just over.
What the fuck?
Yep, that was a book I read.
Man, yep. I you know,
it's called All the Good Indians. Only
you
good
called
Indians.
Me the other day, and you were just like, "Yo, I kind of want to get you guys this as a present." After telling me that, you can keep it. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want that in my house.
Hey, I don't even know if I had a good time. I had a time for sure.
That's like, you know, like you do the same. You're like, all right, I'm gonna go out tonight. It's gonna be a good time. I got this, and we're gonna just put my shirt on. Put my boots on and go have fun. And by the time you're done, you're just like, I got one boot and half my shirt got torn off. And I don't know where my car is at, but I made it home. I can't say it was good, but you know what? I got home. That's what that book sounds like.
Yep. I have no idea. Like, I finished the book, but I don't know if it was good. Like, I'm not for certain at all.
I also want to know, like, who's that for? Because, like, that guy is just like, I'm gonna make a basketball fucking dueling ghost deer.
What's weird, well, it's because the author is all about basketball throughout the whole book. Like, every one of these characters likes basketball and stuff, and it's like alluded to and stuff like that until the end, where there's an actual like action sequence where there's a basketball duel, like fucking fiddle versus the devil, like you told me. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So yeah, that was that book.
He probably sat down for a long time at the end. He's like, I need to workshop a battle between these two. He's like, what's like a, I know there's like the fiddle and the devil, but like, what's something that I can do? And he's like, basketball.
I know basketball,
elk lady. Yep. We're gonna shoot 3-pointers until someone loses their life.
That's, dude, it was intense, at least when I was reading it. So I was like, all right, that's fine. But I read the afterword, and the author thanks a bunch of people who have written fiction about women with deer heads. And
I was like,
he never thanks any basketball players exclusively, but he also thanks this other author who I will never look up, because he was like, you know, I really want to thank, you know, fucking, let's just say Robert, you know, Thompson, because Robert Thompson, you really knew how to write action and horror. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't have fucking listened to Robert Thompson, because there's a fucking duel to the death basketball scene in this book.
Fucking, so, the ones that handled action horror the best is Predator, not fucking basketball elks.
It was really strange, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. No. I'm working on another book called Cloud Cuckoo Land. I'm not even gonna try to explain it. It's about Greek shit. It's kind of
right.
One of my artsy books. It's fine.
Just, you know, it's too artsy. I can go into the past and just let it happen, mm-hmm. and you'll be like, yeah, I read it. On to the next one. And we'll all be fine with that.
What have you been up to?
I am like on the last chapter of finishing Crimson Climb. The thing about Kira from Han Solo. She did some crazy fucking shit to get to the top, bro. And I'm not like talking about sucking dicks or anything, like literally framing people to just get straight fucking murdered in front of other people to scare the fuck out of them. I was like, damn, you were shady as fuck.
I mean, that's cool.
So like to give like a little backstory, so there's like someone that like is basically funneling off secrets from the Crimson Dawn, which is like this big crime syndicate, to another crime syndicate. Is that the one
led by robot-legged Dark Maul?
Fun fact, all of the big crime syndicates at that time are all being ran by robot-legged Darth Maul. This dude is like the dawn of the Star Wars universe during that time period.
I'm not sure that I like how much... I love that he's only in the Solo movie as like a canon character, and then he's just in so much in the background. Dude, it's super weird.
Because at first I was just like, all right, I mean, I know Maul's the leader of this group, which would make sense. Their name is literally Crimson Dawn. Like, this guy's got red markings all over his face and everything.
You ever think about whether or not his tattoos are the black parts or the red parts?
Yeah, I do really think about that sometimes, because like when you look at other Zabrax, like if you played, I mean, I know you played Fallen Order, and you'll see like the yellow and black ones.
I think the black might be the consistent part.
Yeah, right. That would make sense. But then the thing is, if you look at the rest of their bodies, those dudes are like all fucking yellow. I don't know, man. Maybe it's all paint. Who knows? It's just all paint, and they just look like normal dudes under that shit.
That's so long. That's
they
like
they actually do have like a normal skin color. I remember that because
I mean they kind of must, because fucking Night Sisters have normal skin color.
There's a fucking Zabrak that you run into, and I think KOTOR, that's literally just gray. And I was like, oh, you don't have any of the crazy fucking war paint on you. Mm-hmm. So that is a thing. Besides the fact, so someone's like, fuck, before I get too deep into the weeds.
I know Star Wars. Eyes rolling to the back of your head, foaming at the mouth. I know Star Wars so good.
Like Star Wars. God, so bad. So basically, she's trying to weed out someone that Dryden Voss, which is like her boss, the dude, weird dude with the red face mark thing, anger thing that he has. So. She's like playing everybody, and at some point she's just like, you know what, fucking the roadie and bug face motherfucker over here has got a real big beef with me because I let this other bitch die. I'm gonna frame him so he gets murdered because I don't like the way he looks at me. So she goes,
somebody out there is an actual noir writer.
Yeah, dude, I was like, oh my god. So she goes and manipulates some shit that makes it look like that person was also leaking info, and the boss was just like, fuck it, you're dead, and just throws a fucking blade into that dude's eye. And I was like, oh my god, that's fucking crazy. And they just carry on about that, and they're just like, yeah, I don't care who I get to fucking have murdered to get to the top, I don't care anymore. I was like, all right, you do you.
That makes me really excited for, what is it called? Not Jedi, fucking Star Wars Outlaws or whatever. The fucking...
Dude, I'm super stoked for that.
The, like, bandit game. It makes me excited about that.
You just get to see, like, the seedier side of shit, and that's what I'm down for.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man.
God, I had, like, other plans of shit to talk about, and I'm just fucking completely blanking on them. Like, I didn't want to talk about, like, I've been playing video games lately, but, like, I've been playing Death Stranding, and I got some ideas and some questions. You want to just finish this off
with 30 minutes of Death Stranding
talk? Is that okay?
I'm fucking down.
All right, guys, welcome to this Death Stranding hour. I have so much. If you don't know what we're talking about, fuck it. Like, it's fine.
You're fucked.
figure it out. Because I'm halfway through the game, so nothing's really a spoiler when I'm just like, yeah, there's a lady who fucking lactates still but has a ghost baby she takes care of. Yeah. She also gives you zip lines. Like, I don't know what's going on with this game. But so, all right, I guess I have one scene that's really been, like, weird to me. And it's, I got to South Knot City for the first time, and Mama is talking to me literally on the phone, and then is like pauses for a second, and then there's a fucking hurricane up in like right above the lake.
Chiral storm and, that happens.
Yep. And I go outside and I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting fucking taken away. And BB's like, oh man, this is terrible.
Crabs are flying everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then I wake up and I'm in World War One with skeletons, and and then Mads Mikkelsen is just hunting me down, kind of. That, but it's like a complacent hunt down. I don't really know how
to
explain it. It's like
about it.
So yeah, like you can shoot him and stuff and you can chase him, but then he's like, oh no. And then what's worse is it says the game gives you one objective when you're here. You're literally running through fucking World War One trenches with fucking bullets flying everywhere and stuff. And everything is like period correct except for the skeleton, man.
Hey, man, you were in World War One. You don't know if that was there or not.
I don't. Yeah, you might be right. That could have been the standard American attire. I have no idea.
Skeletons.
Just being without flesh.
We're going to ship you out to fucking Europe. They're like, all right, well, what do I cut into? Take your meat off.
Well, I want to point out when this scene first happens, you're like floating into the sky and then you like pass the fuck out. And then there's a long loading screen. And I was like, I'm going to be somewhere else once this loading screen ends. I don't know where it is, but I'm going to be somewhere else.
I'm going to be here.
And then it starts as a video, and there's just a fucking wet, covered in black ooze Mad Mikkelsen being pulled by a bunch of leashes attached to like dead ghost soldiers made out of pirates or made out of skeletons.
I like how you associate pirates with skeletons.
Pirates and skeletons are the same thing.
It's a pirate. That's a skeleton.
But dude gets dragged out with his like four umbilical cords, and then like the umbilical cords all burn off of his body. And then all of the skeletons start fucking jiggling around, and then he's like, move forward, and then they go do on. And then the next time you see the man, he's fully clothed with guns and completely clean,
yeah,
not covered in black ooze, and he does still sick like hell fucking demons on you like ghost dudes with guns, but they're also kind of pushovers because if you shoot him in the skeleton head, they die like immediately. So I need to know, did I go into a different reality or did I go to a different, what happened?
So I'm trying to figure out like what the best way to explain this without delving too far into any spoiler territory. Let's just put it like this. Since the void out started,
actually one more thing, one super fast thing. Also, Mads Mikkelsen plays a character who is BB's dad, but it appears that the guy I fought in the trenches is not the same man as BB's dad. I really don't know, but I don't think he is.
Damn it. I want to tell you so much, but I can't.
It's just, it seems like a Hideo Kojima-ass thing to be like, that guy that you think you recognize, who you've played the whole game as, it's not you. And you're like, what? Who am I?
Who's your daddy and what's he do?
Yeah, but, exactly.
Basically, since the stranding happened, the veil between the human world and the ghost world is thin, as you know, because you fucking literally see BTs around all over the place in our world. So
yeah,
when a chiral storm
hits, which are just ghosts, right?
Yeah, they're just ghosts that are stranded, not being able to go into the water from the beach, because the water really is basically like ascending to the afterlife.
Okay, the beach is the afterlife.
So the beach, consider it purgatory. That's yeah, the
I kind of thought that because they used the beach as like a tunnel for sending data through. Yeah. So I kind of figured that the beach was some sort of in-between space.
Yes, exactly. So the transition into the water is their ascension into being able to like peacefully leave. That's the most I can say about that without getting
into anything else. And the phrase death stranding then is that death is stuck in on the beach. Is that the literal idea of death is stuck on the beach?
Pretty much. The stranding is the event that happened that caused everything, and then void outs are what happens when living flesh, because so what happens with BTs, if they find a dead body, they'll want to come touch it to try and become human again, which is what causes the void outs that make the giant nuke craters. So that also puts chiral energy into the air, chiral energy is what makes the veil thin between the normal and ghost world. So what happens?
Yeah, because Mama was telling me, she was like, we don't know really if it's good to have a bunch of chiral energy or not a bunch. We're still kind of trying to figure out if it's a good thing.
We're working out the details. For the time being,
yeah, and she's like, for the time being, let's treat it like it's a good thing. What's just keep using chiral energy.
I love how you're literally wearing this shit around your neck the whole time. And you're just like, oh, it's just ghost energy that causes terrible things sometimes.
Oh, that thing, the Cupid is chiral energy. This is news to me. Yeah. I just know that it has like some sort of virus that allows for but it's incorrectly programmed and allows too much chiral energy to be loaded into specific regions. I'm like, what the fuck is this like game?
It's a chiral conduit, basically. So basically the way you can look at it is that's why it's always gloomy, is because of the chiral density in the air. So sometimes you get like
It took me 30 hours to realize that it's never night in this game.
Yeah, it's always gloomy.
I was like, why is it always midday, but gloomy?
Yeah, there's never sun and there's never night because of just that that phenomenon that's going on. So basically, the way you can look at it is sometimes when chiral energy focuses, it creates like a supercell that creates a chiral storm. And then from there, you get the situation where basically a gigantic storm that blends both realms of existence together starts melding, which is why you get the word.
So I was technically kind of in World War One. Is that what it is?
You're on someone's beach. Yes. That's like the best way to put it.
People have individualized beaches.
Kind of, yeah. They do. I mean, Fragile should have explained that to you by now, though.
Yes, she did. She did explain that to me. And that also the way that people go through different beaches is different. And yeah, Fragile's method of going through the beach. Because, like, Fragile can't bring anything with her, but it seems like Higgs can bring shit with him.
Yeah, so there's beach walkers that can go through other people's beaches.
Oh, my God.
And that's the power given to them by something else. And then there's people like Fragile who uses her beach to just teleport through different areas of our world. And then you get people like Sam that has his own personal beach, but he's able to come back to our world through his beach. So it's stuff like that where
that because Sam's a repatriate?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Because Sam's always just in the water when he dies.
Yeah,
I haven't died since the first time you die in the void out. But I know that Sam's in the water when he dies. I know that.
Yeah, it's because he's got like a weird connection to where he can never fully ascend or anything or get stranded. So he just kind of comes back to his body again.
So, okay, that's cool. I just wonder if his body can be obliterated to nothing. Apparently it can, but then it just comes back.
Yeah, kind of in a sense. It's weird, man. Like that one, I never fully grasped how that worked.
Nope.
Because I'm just like,
on this.
I was like, yo, a whole ass void out can happen and his corpse will just go, and then he's just back in reality.
Yep.
I think what the best way I could probably think of it is that the beach just kind of vomits out another Sam and they're like, all right, you're good to go still. Here's your same soul. Call it a day. I feel like awesome. That's most likely what the case is.
New matter, same soul.
Yeah. Or actually, I don't think his body can get obliterated. It's just like the weird transition of what happens kind of makes his body invulnerable during that time.
So yeah, I feel like he just phases in and out of existence.
I think that's actually what it is.
Like there, basically when death happens to him, he ceases to be there. And then the minute it's over, he comes back out of the beach, he's just back physically there. Exactly. So like, say somebody like shot him in the head, he'd hit the ground and then he'd be standing again. Mm-hmm. Like immediate, like you could blink and he'd be standing.
I feel like that's what it is.
That's what I think
he kind of phases in and out of reality.
Yep. Can Sam's dead body still explode? It can, right?
If he can't make it back to his corpse, then realistically that would be a possibility, yes.
Because Dead Man was like, be careful, because the BT, like, you may be able to repatriate, but it still is explosion time.
Yeah, because technically I think it never happened to me much because I only died like 3 times in that game. But I think the more you died, the further away from your body you would be like every time. Mm-hmm. So at some point,
because you have to follow your like ethereal chain to your body, right?
So like at some point it would take significantly longer, which I would imagine is what would then cause like a BT to be like, oh, cool, flesh fucking puppet, and then boom. So I feel like that would be kind of the situation, because that's the main difference with Sam being a repatriate, is he's able to re-merge with his fucking skin suit instead of a BT being awesome. Like, oh man, I want to, but I don't know how to do this kind of situation.
How do I get in this? Yeah. And then I have no idea how to get back in this, but I'm gonna try.
Yeah, and it just makes a big boom. Well,
but then
here.
what's also weird about the process is technically also, what is it? Your body goes into some sort of state that makes it more dangerous. Because like,
yeah, it goes like volatile.
I couldn't remember what the phrase was, but there was like a thing where something appeared on the first character you see that this happens to, his chest, and then they get covered in black ooze, and then they just get like dripped into the world after the BTs touch it.
That's because it's so. Like the that's the like the chiral.
I think it's
energy.
Better to think the. I think the destruction is similar to an explosion, but I think it's a whole different thing happening.
Yeah, no, I would kind of imagine it's more of an implosion happening, and then there's this like fucking void out that happens afterwards. You're just like, awesome. Oh man, this is just what happens when two matters that shouldn't touch and things just go terribly wrong. But
yeah, the game is fucking
it's
bonkers.
Dude.
Like,
it gets so much more complicated and so much more convoluted as you go through it, because you're gonna get to a point where you're just like, wait, that what, how, wait, y'all were what?
I kid you not, it's exciting. It's so exciting.
Kid you not, when I was like, yeah, no, I when I hit that specific point, I was just so fucking mind blown for a moment. I literally had to put my controller down for like 20 minutes to kind of process what I experienced. And I was like, so that works this way because of this, but then things here and that. And
you have
why?
To go get a fucking piece of paper out, hold on,
and make like a Venn diagram on like why this is okay with a family tree above it and the roots going down. Yeah, man, it's fucking crazy.
All right, well, I am trucking along. So there's two reasons that this game really has me in it. I love the loot grind. It is like,
it's so
fucking so sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's because Diablo was cool because you get armor and stuff and fucking damage number go up. But in this game, it's again, I've told you about it before. It's that Metroidvania shit that I just love these days, where you can now, once you get past a certain point, you can just do a different thing than you did before. And in this one, it's like, it's equipment based. Yeah. Well, because like, so I basically only had a fucking trike, and then also I don't know which things are part of the director's cut edition of the game because I'm playing that, or if it's the regular version. Because so I got, there's the reverse trike, there's the long distance reverse trike. Mm-hmm. I also got a special custom long distance reverse trike that I don't really know what it does. I got something called the defense trike, and then
so
now
the defense
all of a sudden
one's definitely new. The special
and there's
one.
Also the carrier trike.
The carrier one lets you put like cargo on the side, right? Like on the little back area of it.
And it gets a like your chiral cart, but on the butt of the bike, and you can just load up like 300 kilos worth of shit on the back.
No, yeah, I think that one was in the original. And then that other, like the special trike, that's the one where he'll be like, oh man, this is just like the one that Norman Reedus rides and blah 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 when you get on it, right? Does he say that?
I have no idea. I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, there is a bike.
I just know that there's a special trike.
There's a bike that they literally fucking tore out of a show that Norman Reedus hosts in real life.
You're talking about the show called Norman Reedus The Ride.
Yeah. They do that and it's literally ripped out, put in the game, and then he'll be like, oh, this is just like the bike that Norman Reedus rides in Ride. And I'm just like, I hate you, Kojima.
I fucking hate that Norman Reedus is like, has ads for his TV show inside of this video game. And then like, think about this game, like, you know, because there's already going to be a sequel, and so now if people are like, let me go back and really see what that game was all about, and you're like, what the fuck is with, why do I have to pee to get grenades? And why is it every time I take a goddamn poop, I just see Norman Reedus as The Ride?
Yeah, dude, I don't, I really feel like this is one of those games where like the people who are going to want two are the people who enjoyed one. And it's not going to bring in any new people. That's for damn sure.
It's absolutely like no one's going to be like, oh, man, Death Stranding 2 is coming out. Never played the first one, but seems like a good time to jump in. There's nothing in the trailer that is like, oh, man, I even know what's happening right now. Why? Like, dude, the trailer, I've played a lot of this game and I still am like, why the fuck is Norman Reedus blue?
Having played the whole game,
where the fuck is he blue?
To the extent that I have, I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on, but the game will explain it when I get it.
I love that. Or like Norman Reedus, fucking Sam will just have there will be like a nightmare sequence and there's just like a little octopus baby inside of his fucking BB enclosure. And I'm like, what is this? What's happening? So I'm happy that it has that same effect on you. It's like Kojima literally wrote a book and then was like, this is the rules, and then threw it out a fucking window and was like, I do it again.
Because dude, I'm telling you, once I play it, I know it's all gonna make sense to me, but right now watching that trailer, it's like, I don't know expecting.
You say you know it's gonna all make sense to you, but I think it's gonna be really similar to what people experience with the Phantom Pain, where you're just dragging yourself at a hospital and a giant fire whale comes out of nowhere and some dude's like, you have to return to the desert in 1982. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
What's worse is you don't even end up being Snake the whole time. You're just some dude that was next to him when the helicopter exploded.
So what I think that I think Kojima might do as a storyteller is he takes things that he thinks are cool and he writes down a budget and he's like, all right, this is how much money I have. Motorcycles, tricycles, the band Bring Me the Horizon. You're like, dude, how much stuff? And he's like, they gave me hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm going to write all the things. Matt Nicholson. You're like, what?
Guillermo del Toro.
you're like, okay, Conan, so it's O'Brien. not just things you think are cool, but it's like honors. I'm like, what is happening? just put anything. And he's like, all vehicles powered by electricity only. And you're like, what?
Gold statues.
Yeah, it's like nothing ever says no, and he just figures out how to put it in there.
He just figures it out, though, dude. That's the worst part.
It is one of the most functional video games I've ever played, and like I was trying to talk to a coworker, and I was like, "Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Death Stranding." He's like, "Oh yeah, I've heard of it." He's like, "I've heard about that game." Well, I mean, like, what is it? And I was like, "So think about yourself as like a UPS delivery person at the end of the world, but all of the story makes no sense, but is amazing." And he was like, "Dude, you haven't really sold me on it." And I was like, "I know. I don't know. Like, I literally have no idea. I don't know why I even picked it up. I was curious." So that's about it. But like what's weirder is like you put more time into it, you get more out of it. I don't know why. Like I just unlocked the fucking what are they called? The zip lines. Yeah, and man. I just built an intricate network of zip lines all the way across the southern half of the map. I was texting you and you were like, you should probably build them in like central areas so that way it's easier to just get from one side to the other. So now I'm like, all right, well, I guess I gotta remap my fucking zip line fucking tools and shit. And then I was like, oh man, you know, it'd be sick putting post boxes places so I can keep track of my really heavy cargo. Cause oh man, I got this load that's like 1,000 kilos I gotta drop off. It's fucking dumb, dude.
It's so like stupid, dude.
And like or like being super stoked to be like, oh thank God, I have climbing anchors in my backpack. Yeah,
I can go down.
Now I can
this
go
mountain.
Pick up that package in the crevice.
The two things that I always had on me were climbing anchors. And honestly, I stopped carrying ladders at some point because they became like so useless to me.
So as long as you start at the top of something, climbing anchors are the best.
Yeah, they're fucking great.
Ladders are literally useless if you start at the top of anything.
Yeah, because
also there was one thing that I liked about ladders, and that is that if you put a ladder up, your chiral carts can follow you. But you could also just do two trips up a fucking rope.
Yep, call it a day.
Yep. The only thing I really wouldn't.
And the PCCs, right? The ones that just let you build shit. Yeah, I was always strapped with those things.
honestly, until I got the what is that called?
The zipline.
The zipline. Yeah, until I got the zipline, I didn't carry PCZs anywhere. Then I started carrying five with me at a time.
Right. I need these all the time.
But now that I've used up my like all of my chiral network allotment, like I'm kind of like I don't really see the point in PCZs anymore.
That makes sense.
So like yeah, I can build a sick ass zipline structure, but I'm running out of bandwidth, and so like yeah, that means I got to redesign my network. But I'm also still carrying shit back and forth. So like, I think I'm just going to leave the network I created and then just make sure that maybe at the ends of, I can't even be like, oh, let me make sure there's private rooms so I can just get in a car somewhere. But luckily, as long as I'm playing online, there's a car normally pretty close by to wherever I'm fucking going.
Someone always has a car somewhere. It's fucking great.
A car or a fucking motorcycle. So, cause like, honestly, the other day I was like, fuck, I made it up to this top of the hill and I got to carry this dude who broke his goddamn ankle halfway across the map and drop him off. Is there a fucking car somewhere? Because I just dropped, and then I was like, all of my shit, when I picked this dude up, put him on my fucking back. I put this dude in a fucking Ziploc bag, put him on my back, and I dropped all my shit. And I was like, so I really literally have to carry only this man? What about the other shit that actually has a destination that I got to take? And then fucking lo and behold, look on the horizon. Oh, there's just an abandoned truck. And I was like, oh, thank God. Go get an abandoned truck, fucking throw the corpse next to me, and we drove our asses over to the fucking distribution center south of Staten Island.
Toss him in the passenger seat, my buckle in, bitch. We got boxes.
He doesn't even fix his like body language. He's like, I'm a corpse. I'm like, dude, all you did was sprain your fucking ankle.
Have you taken the what is it? Was it the mechanic that his have you brought him his girlfriend yet?
So that was the first human body living human body I had to transfer. And she was like, oh, you got to carry. I was like, oh, okay. So I got to escort her and make sure she stays safe. And then she lays down and gets inside of a Ziploc bag. And then Sam's like, oh, well, I'm just going to leave breathing holes open for you. You know what my dumbass did after that?
What?
I took out my fucking chiral cart and I skateboarded my happy ass all the way back to the junk dealer. I fucking rode down hills and everything. And like the menu literally said bring back less than 50% damage. I was like, so I can fuck this girl up at least 50%. I'm gonna fall down a goddamn hill with this chick on my back.
Let's go swimming.
I love that they'll say that. They'll be like, oh man, this is a non-water soluble package and it's a human being.
So fucking good, dude. I fucking love that game so much.
Yeah, it is like I can't even I agree with Kojima being like, I made up the genre because what the fuck?
Yeah, like you can't even
Metroidvania walking simulator.
Like, how do you kinda? Even try to mimic it, honestly? Like, it's like, never going like to capture
you can talk
it.
About its, you can talk about its themes. It's fucking post-apocalyptic. And then it's also like Metroidvania and, like I said, walking simulator. And those are the three things. And maybe survival.
Yeah. So a little bit of survival sprinkled in, but not.
But
too
none
much.
Of those are a single word, which is why I fucking hate that Kojima was like, "Yep, it's a Stranding game," and you're like, "The fuck does that mean?"
He's just like, "Don't
especially,
worry about it."
What's worse
it.
Is if I'm using that as the definition, it can't be the same definition that Stranding is in your universe, which is an evil apocalyptical event that like kind of weakened the distance between life and death.
Exactly.
I mean, fucking, what is a Stranding game? Do they all have to do that?
Like, what is the premise
you
of a
play
Stranding
a Souls
game?
Like, well, Souls likes all take place on tricycles.
Oh my god.
Oh shit, I forgot the tricycle. Apparently this is not a Souls like anymore.
Oh shit, I forgot to load myself up with tons of barrels.
Dude, this game is fucking ridiculous. But again, every time I get new equipment, I'm just like, wow, it's so exciting. Let's see what it does.
Yeah, and you just want to like, dick around with it instantly.
Dude, literally every single time. It's fucking great. And yeah, exactly. I just like, I never go one way the same way ever. Like, I'll walk it the first time because I'm like, I want to see what's going on over here. Then the next time I'm just fucking riding a fucking skateboard down a hill, dude. Just bombing it with 700 pounds on my back.
And you're just like, what's crazy?
See what's at the bottom.
What's crazy too is you're just like, you'll know the beaten path compared to the one that you're forging because literally a walkway will appear from everyone who's taken it. And then yours is just covered in rocks and grass. And you're just like, look. Looks like I'm climbing a mountain today, boys.
I love when I'm like, oh, that route? No.
Let me go over the weird sharp black rocks.
Or like I love when I've done them a few times and then it'll just be my gamer tag name and nobody else. And it's like, this is a path that only the Sandman has carved.
No others will know this path but me.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us at Sometimes I Hate You. This has been a comedy variety podcast. Comes around whatever the fuck we feel like. If you like playing video games, go check out Death Stranding. It's on PlayStation, Xbox. And for some reason, no, it's not on Xbox, but for some reason, it's on fucking iPhone. So if you want, go play it on your fucking... You have to have an iPhone that specifically is iPhone 15 generation. So my 13 have an ass can't play the game. Although I can remote stream it from my PC with my fucking backbone. But who's bitching? It's fine. Let's go play it on a fucking cell phone. And then where else is it? It's on PlayStation, PC, and iPhone.
iPhone, specifically Backbone, yep. Apparently.
No, it's not specifically Backbone.
The way they marketed it, though.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's you can buy it from the App Store for $30, and I was like, I'll just stream it from my PC. It's fine. It's
totally fine.
If I want to play it on my terrible cell phone, I'll just do it that way. And then what else? Oh, terrible news. My camera is not working correctly.
What?
Yep.
That's horrible.
Absolutely terrible fucking news. Yesterday, I went to go put my SD card in because I was like, oh, it's sunsetting. There's fucking wind chimes outside. Let me go take a picture of the sunsetting wind chimes. And then my camera was like, there's no SD card in me. And I was like, bitch, there's an SD card in you right now. And it was like, nah, there's no SD card in me. And so I pried the SD card out. And then I looked inside and there's nothing. There's no damage that I can see. But the SD card has like a little chip that's been broken off of it. What? So I was like, oh, fuck. Is there a little piece of plastic inside of my SD card slot? Now I can't store photos on my camera. And the other bad part is that my kid has dropped my camera at least 5 times. And in those times, my battery door is now broken.
Oh.
It's $170 to buy a replacement battery door assembly for my camera.
Holy shit, dude.
So, Victor, you know what I want for my birthday?
A battery door?
A battery door or a new goddamn camera? And I'm so, like, frustrated because I'm like, I feel instead of being like, oh, man, I'm an artist who's lost his pen, I'm like, somebody stepped on my fucking hands. That's what I feel like. I'm so upset.
Why'd you throw my toys on the floor and beat them with a hammer?
It's not even toys. It's like somebody was like, oh, your legs? Let me see what they look like on the floor. Detached from your body because I used a bloody knife. Oh, okay, yeah. That too. So now I'm waiting till I go to work tomorrow because in this entire house there's not a single paper clip. So I'm waiting until I go to work tomorrow so I can steal a paper clip from our office section.
Isn't that funny how that works sometimes?
Hopefully, just fucking fingers crossed to Cthulhu that I can fucking shimmy out this little piece of plastic that may or may not exist inside of my camera.
Yeah, it could just
and
be
I don't
not
have to spend who knows how much to get my camera fixed. I have no idea.
You might just have to pray to the elder gods to have it grow tentacles and just remember the pictures for all eternity inside of its existence.
Ew,
in
my
outer
camera
space.
The sensor just becomes like a wet eyeball. And then,
When you put it up to your face, tentacles just kind of grab your head.
Yep, they hold your head and you look into the fucking beaked maw of a small creature. And then when I need to adjust my fucking ISO, there's a knob, but it's mostly like just kind of rolling pimples and warts over.
Exactly. Delicious.
My camera is fixed, but my soul is gone.
Oh, you look.
I'm not sure if this is better.
But look at my art. Right, it's insanity inducing.
Everything has like the fucking ring, like in the movie The Ring, like fucking melted faces and shit. Every picture. Everything.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'd be down.
Why is it
that
when you take your picture, your camera blinks and screams? I don't know.
That's what the author wrote about.
It's not even the camera screaming. It's the subject of the camera. Yeah. So like every time you take a picture, they're like, ah! Like, that would be great. I want that. Victor, get to writing a short story now.
That's what it looks like I need to do, man.
All right, this has been Sometimes I Hate You. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a good night. Bye.
Don't be so serious.
Dude, that song.